A burst pipe, a dead water heater, the AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price. Void in Florida.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code podcast at grunes.co. That's code podcast at GRUNS.co.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Early odds with Jake Hassan.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an All-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Chicago sports betting.
Touchdown, Ohio State. There are some folks who are celebrating and others who are saying, you've got to be kidding.
You kind of know what I'm thinking about.
Over or under?
Under would be the key word. Hello?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early odds with Jake Hassan on The Score.
And a friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Welcome back in another edition of Early Odds. This is 670 The Score. I am your host for the next hour, Jake Hassan. You can follow me on Twitter at @Jake_Hassan. You can follow 670 The Score at 670 The Score on Twitter. Ton to get to today. Hockey, baseball, NBA, college baseball. We're going to hit it all, have bets, have angles for everything, and have guests today. The first of those being a recurring guest, a friend of the program, Ben Wittenstein, Sportsline, CBS Sports. You know him. He has been on the show before, as I said. Friend of the program. At this point, follow him at his name, Ben Wittenstein, on Twitter. And first things first, Ben, I think now this makes your third appearance on Early Odds on 670, which I think either ties you or puts you maybe even ahead of our friend Colby Marcio on the show, which I'm sure neither of us will definitely not hear about going forward now.
Oh, I have to go text him right now, actually, instead of bragging. Do I get like a watch or something, like a nice plaque for how many times I've been on?
I'd actually prefer that you two just push each other online and just kind of push the show and just go at each other. I'm trying to start a beef, actually, is what's happening here. I'm trying to divide you both and pit you against each other, and I'm just in the middle. No, but appreciate your time, as always. Really looking forward to it. And just first things first, man, I mean, how have the playoffs treated you? How have you been feeling about this playoffs? Anything that you've really taken away through this first round where you're like, all right, this has been a really profitable angle?
I tweeted this out maybe last week watching some of the games. I tweeted the NBA playoffs have basically been perfect this year. I mean, they've been phenomenal. How many game winners have we seen? How many down 15, down 20 comebacks have we seen so far in the playoffs? And we're not even through the second round. It's been unbelievable watching these games. They've had exciting moments, cool shots, fun plays. We've had beefs. We've had fights. It's got everything you would have wanted for the NBA playoffs, which I think is great because throughout the entire NBA season, people were talking about the ratings and how people weren't paying attention to the game as much and three-pointers ruining the game. The Boston Celtics style of play was ruining basketball. And now we get to the playoffs. Celtics are down 2-0. We've got teams coming back from huge deficits. We've got game-winning shots. So everything is really falling into place. I'm not a big look at the ratings guy, but I know people have been watching. So I think that's a great thing. I love for the sport to continue and keep on growing. So for me, this has been the perfect playoffs with all the excitement, all the craziness, all the underdogs winning. It's been really, really fun to watch.
You mentioned Celtics-Knicks, and we might as well start there because I think that is the story so far, at least in this second round. It is definitely the story of the Knicks go to Boston. They win both games from come-from-behind fashion as huge dogs in that game. And now series flips to New York. Game three is game three in New York. I'm an idiot. I just said that. But game three in New York now, tonight, and you have the Knicks still dogs. And still dogs in the series, still dogs in the game. You have the Celtics minus 120 in the series now, and you have them, the Knicks, that is, catching a couple points at home at the Garden up to nothing. And I think the discourse ever since game two has been, well, now's a great time to buy the Celtics. Now's a great time to bet them to win the East, to win the championship, to win the series. When's the next time? If they win game three, they're going to be minus 200 for the series again. Is that how you're feeling about the Celtics? Are you with kind of the groupthink that the Celtics can still make this turnaround in advance and maybe go to and win the finals?
Jake, the old me would have fallen into that trap real easily. You know, you look at the Celtics, you're like, how are they losing? They're going to start making their three-pointers at some point. They're going to start playing better. Well, game two, they look pretty good through most of the game, and then somehow they just start missing shots. They don't have the tenacity. They don't have the energy. They look like they are just kind of stagnant. And then a team that, you know, we can dog on Tom Thibodeau, but he gets his guys ready. Those guys are ready to play. They're ready to win. They fight for every possession. And when you're playing a team that seems to be as apathetic as the Celtics like that, you have a really good chance to win. So I'm trying to be the new me. I'm trying to be the new better, where I don't just look at the Celtics and automatically think 120 points and a win. So laying 5.5 on the road, it's tough for me to swallow. Now, of course, the analytical side of me is thinking, well, maybe Boston has a resurgence. They're able to maybe finally just hold one game. They're due for that. But I don't think I could put my money behind them. Maybe they have a great first quarter. You know, I love those first quarter bets. Maybe Boston comes out really hot, down 0-2, backs against the wall, cut type of a thing on the road. You kind of have to win this one. You go down 3-0 and you have another game on the road. That's a really tough one to win. So this might be, you know, you try to start a hot, you try to go team total over first quarter, spread first quarter, but we know the Knicks fight and we know they're not going to stop fighting. And for a team like the Celtics that sometimes struggles to play that with Kristaps Porzingis, who has kind of a weird illness issue that he's dealing with, Jason Tatum being auraless and not being able to close out games, and sometimes Jaylen Brown shooting mid-range fadeaway jump shots. Like, it's the vibes are really weird with the Celtics right now, so I'm not willing to lay the points. I would probably do like a first quarter thing with them, but the Knicks are fun, and I think they could, I mean, they have a chance to sweep. I'm not upset about saying that.
And now, too, you have the Knicks, the way that they win these games, too, are back-to-back games, defensive stops. Like the Celtics have had the ball at the end of the game, and they just can't make it happen, which you got people on Twitter saying Mikal Bridges has already made up for all the first-round picks that they gave away with these steals in the back-to-back games. But I think you're right. I think that the Celtics are kind of in trouble here, in a little danger, but the talent is the talent, and they can't possibly shoot as – like, that's the thought, right? The Celtics can't possibly shoot as poorly as they have through these first two games, right?
Yeah, that's the thinking, and it would make sense to think, okay, they're due for a good positive regression, but maybe – The Knicks just have them figured out, and they have a way to bother them from the three-point line. I mean, I did not think that we were going to get a game in this series where neither team hits 100 points. In game two, 91-90. It's crazy. Game one had a total of 213. The total for the game on Saturday is 205 as of right now. So, like, we have seen a dramatic decrease in points, and to me, that just shows how much the Knicks are winning, because the Knicks don't want to get in a shootout with the Celtics. You're going to lose that 10 times out of 10. So they're trying to bring the Celtics down to their level, dirty basketball, slow pace, really meticulous, finding their matchups. And so far it's working. And it doesn't seem like Joe Mazzulla and the Celtics have done anything to combat that.
Let's go to the other big story that I think everybody is talking about, and Steph Curry being out. He made a comment on Thursday saying, I'm not going to rush it. I'm going to just let the body heal as it is. He's never had a hamstring injury before. Then the Wolves go out and they just absolutely pummel the Warriors. And credit where it's due, the Warriors did fight. They waited until the last second to empty the bench and wave the white flag. And there were a couple moments in that game even where the Warriors go on a little bit of a run. They kind of start to close the gap and you think, okay, Are they maybe going to make this a game? They end up not. They can't cover the number. But I think everybody expected this. When Steph Curry goes out of that first game and the Warriors end up winning, but the series prices go all Wolves. Everything that goes the entire way of the Wolves, and they come out and they win game two in pretty good fashion where, you know, they handle it. They handle business. And so do you think that – and let's assume Steph Curry is going to miss at least game three and four as well, because the initial thought was it's going to be at least a week before he's even reevaluated. So let's assume Curry's out for these next two games as well. Is this just the Wolves in five?
This is like a classic old takes exposed moment for me, but I think the Warriors without Steph is an average team at best. Like when Jimmy's rolling and the team is scoring, they're an average team. Without Steph, man, they just can't score. And we saw that. They didn't even hit their team total of like 96 points in game two, which is so low in the modern NBA. So I am really low on this Warriors team without Steph. And I'm more than happy to lay the 5.5 points as the line is right now, 5.5 for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think this is a good Minnesota Timberwolves team. They struggled and stumbled in game one. But without Steph fully in the lineup for the entire game, they have so many mismatches. They have so many ways to beat the Warriors. I am very low on this Warriors team without Steph. So it would make sense for him to rest game three. You know, they're back at home. Maybe Steve Kerr thinks like this team will be okay without him at home. But I am very low on what this Warriors team is able to do. They play slow. They don't have someone who they can go to consistently for shots. Timberwolves are really good defensively. They'll find the mismatches against Jimmy when Jimmy has the ball. So I am very low on the Warriors. I would bet against them as much as I can without Steph on the floor, especially in the playoffs.
I think everyone's going to convince themselves that you're due for the Jimmy hero game. Like you saw with the Heat when they made their bubble run, and everyone's going to say, okay, this is like, it's got to be coming at some point, and everyone's going to chase that. Do you think that happens, or was that game one? Did we get the Jimmy hero game already?
I think that may have been game one, and I know people love the Jimmy Butler hero stuff, and you talked about the bubble, and this just, unfortunately for Jimmy, it's not the bubble. He's not. I don't think he's going to be able to. He may score 40 points, may score 45, but I don't know if that's going to be good enough to beat the Timberwolves. Because again, if Buddy Hield's not hitting his shots, which he's done a pretty decent job of so far, but there's going to be games he's just not consistent enough his career to just keep on doing this as the second best man offensively on a team in the playoffs. Like, that's just not how you win games. So to me, Jimmy might be able to score 40, 45, 50 points, but the rest of the Golden State Warriors, are they going to give up 75, 80, 90 points on the back end? You know, like they're just not going to be able to do much offensively on their part to make up for what they lack defensively and what the Timberwolves are able to do. So even if Jimmy has a hero ball game, I don't know if it's going to be good enough to be a really good Timberwolves team.
Are there any prop angles you're attacking with Warriors Wolves with Steph out that you think somebody can either, if the Wolves are taking advantage of a mismatch, or that just a usage rate going to more Warriors players, anybody you're looking to target for the rest of the series?
Yeah, I think on the Wolves side, Naz Reid, I think, is always a good option. I think a lot of people kind of look at Anthony Edwards, and you know, they look at some of these other players that are bigger names on that team. Now, Naz Reid's huge, and he's huge in the state of Minnesota, but you know, a lot of people sometimes aren't looking to follow a guy like that for a prop. So I love like rebounds, assists, even points for Naz Reid, and I always will fade Buddy Hield. And I think his point total was like 14.5 for game two. He got 15. And I came on your show and I said, fade Buddy. And I'm going to stick by it. I'm going to stick to my guns. I would fade Buddy Hield. Again, he's just not built to consistently be that number two option on a team in the playoffs. And he's going to stumble at some point. He's going to start missing shots consistently. So I'm happy he went over in game two. Maybe we get a little higher number on his points or his 3-point shots make, and you can fade him for the rest of the series.
Did the Nuggets steal one and that's it? It's over. The Thunder, now they had their kind of wake up call.
I'm worried that is the case. Now, I hate to bet against altitude and being a mile high in Denver, because that can hurt a lot of teams. So maybe they steal one more at home, but it's highly doubtful. The Thunder are just, they're so good, man. They know how to score and they know how to defend. And really, it's that simple for them. They'll stop you from getting shots consistently, and they'll score on you as much as they can. SGA will just grind you down, and he's able to find his spot. So the Nuggets, to me, are an interesting case because they are really good at bounce-back games, and they're really good after times that they have lost, but the Thunder might just be that Goliath that they can't take down. So I'll bet Nuggets first quarter. Again, my baby, Nuggets first quarter at home, fading teams at altitude, but I would not bet on them full game until they can show me that they have any type of game plan to really beat the Thunder when the Thunder aren't beating themselves. Because that's really how the Nuggets lost game one. The Thunder beat themselves. And the Nuggets did good to hit shots, and Aaron Gordon was great. But it's really the Thunder beating themselves is the only way I think this Nuggets team is able to win.
Do the Cavs just need to get healthy, or are the Pacers the team of destiny and they're just going to maybe keep going on this run?
You know what? I'll say they're the team of destiny. I really like the Cavs. They've got everything going for them. And it's great when you see a team go into the playoffs and they're like, they're fully healthy. They've got a very good coach in Rick Carlisle. They've got a man of destiny in Tyrese Halliburton, who, if you're on Twitter, some person put together a thing of him hitting all these last second shots this season. He just can't miss. When the clock's under 10 seconds, he's got the ball, he's hitting that shot. So you have all three of those put together, you're going to have a really good team making a really good run. The Cavs, to me, even if guys are fully back, I don't know if they're going to be fully healthy. Being down in a 2-0 hole, going on the road to a really tough environment in Indiana, it's tough for me to back a team like that to win a series. So for me, I'll happily jump on the Pacers bandwagon right now, ride Tyrese Halliburton and Miles Turner and Rick Carlisle's team. They just look good. They look motivated. And I think they have their sights set not only in the conference finals, but the finals.
Who do you have more confidence in, Ben, to pull off the upset for the series, the Pacers or the Knicks?
Oh, man, I would probably say at this point the Pacers. It's just because the Cavs and their injury issues. But it's real close for me. And I know a lot of people have been chit-chattering about the Celtics -110, -115 to win that series. But it's the Knicks, as I said, when they're motivated and they have a good coach and they actually can play really good defense on the perimeter, it's going to be real tough for the Celtics now to come out and just start racking up wins. So I think the Knicks are in a good spot, but if there's any team between the two I'm going to bet on, it would be the Pacers right now.
If you're trying to, and this is spinning way ahead in the future, but you say that you think that the Thunder are this sleeping giant that's been, not sleeping giant, they've been a giant behemoth all year long, but maybe woken up after game one. And if we think that the Thunder pull this off and they end up going to the finals, and maybe you think that, is it safe to say you think the Thunder go to the finals?
Yeah, and I hate how vanilla it is, but I do think they get
there. Who's the nightmare matchup for the Thunder? Like, it could be the Celtics, and I know we all hate vanilla, but maybe it's them. Who do the Thunder not want to see when it comes to the finals?
I think the Celtics are up there, but honestly, like, I think the Knicks are an interesting matchup for them, only because you need a team that has strong mentals when you play a team like the Thunder, because they can really wear you down. Like, there might be times where you just have no idea how you're going to score. Yeah, Chet down low, SGA, Alex Caruso. Like, how do you get by Lu Dort? How do you get by all those people? It takes a team with a really strong mental attitude and just the will to bully their way to the basket. And the Knicks have that sometimes. Now, there'll be times the Knicks go on a cold streak, but with Jalen Brunson, Karl-Anthony Towns, Bridges waking up and looking really good, OG's defensive ability, there will be times that that team is able to really turn the tide based on their defense and just their aggression and mental attitude. So the Thunder, being a young team, getting to the finals, first time those guys have been in the finals, lights are extremely bright, going against a more veteran team that's really well coached, could be a pretty bad matchup for them over a 7-game series.
Any dark horses you maybe are taking a look at for finals MVP if you're trying to find any value? Or is it, if you think the Thunder are in the finals and they're probably going to be the best team, is it just SGA?
I mean, it's really hard right now to bet against SGA for finals MVP. Now, I mean, again, going on the Knicks thing, if I think the Knicks are maybe going to make the finals and blow out everyone in their path, Jalen Brunson, I don't think is a terrible option, because they're not going to do anything without his help, to be quite honest. Tyrese Halliburton is always fun. If you think Pacers are a team of destiny, again, he's that guy where, like, if the Pacers make the finals, it's going to be because of Tyrese. And if they're going to win the finals, it's absolutely going to be because of him. So I think you go with some of the main ball handlers for some of these more low-key teams like the Knicks and the Pacers. While they're still, they're not underdogs per se, but people still don't believe they're even going to get to the conference final. So if you think they're good for the conference final, I would go Brunson or Halliburton right now, where you can get them at a really good price.
We are on 670 The Score in Chicago. You're a Chicago guy. I'm a Chicago guy. The Pope is a Chicago guy.
We got the Pope.
Does this mean there's hope? Are we getting flag? Is this what's happening?
I think it has to be. Does the Pope have any say? If he can use anything in his power to get us that number one pick, that would be amazing for us and the city. The Bulls need to do something, man. They need to make some really aggressive moves this offseason. I just want to see the semblance of a plan. We're seeing little crumbs of a little bit of a plan that they have, but I need to see an outline at the very least. I'm like my high school teacher back when I took English in high school. It's like, I need to see the outline. Just show me a little something that you have an idea of what you're talking about, what you're doing. So it would be great if everything comes alive this offseason. We have a plan from AK and Eversley. I'm not super confident about it, but you know, we got the Pope on our side, so maybe some good stuff will happen.
Hopefully he makes a call upstairs and there's better fortunes around in Chicago for sports fans, because God, we need it. Ben Wittenstein at Ben Wittenstein on Twitter, Sportsline, CBS Sports. Appreciate your time as always, man. Great stuff.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it.
We're going to take a quick break on 670 The Score. This is Early Odds. I am Jake Hassan. On the other side, we're going to get into some MLB. I'm going to yap about awards for a little bit, because we have not talked any awards check-ins for Major League Baseball in quite a bit, and I think there's some bets to be made. So stick around. Quick break on the other side. We pivot over to the diamond. We'll be right.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Want $1,000 weight loss medication for $50? It all starts with Rose free GLP-1 insurance check. Just upload your insurance card to see if you have coverage, then relax. Over 200,000 people have qualified for a $50 copay through Roe. Go to roe.co/health. Half of covered patients have a $50 per month copay or less for medication, plus $145 monthly Roe membership fee. Deductible costs may apply and final cost varies by insurance plan. For safety information about GLP-1 medications, including boxed warning, go to roe.co/safety, Rx only.
Right back. Welcome back in Early Odds, 670 The Score. Jake Hassan with you here, and want to spend a little bit of time talking big picture college baseball with you guys. We are approaching tournament time, both conference and NCAA. So wanted to welcome on Jacob Rudner of Baseball America. He is their national writer and he does the rankings every week. Really, really good stuff with Jacob coming up here as we break down everything coming up in the college baseball world. He is on Twitter at his name, Jacob Rudner. Jacob, first time on the show. We have talked a little bit offline, but appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
First things first, I think we have to start with, and it feels like we're saying this for about the millionth time this year, we have a new number one in college baseball. We have a new team atop the rankings this week. For you guys at Baseball America, it's Georgia. They unseat Texas, who was number one last week. We've had Arkansas at the top four. We had Texas A&M in the preseason. Had a lot of different moving parts at number one. What about Georgia this week, and as we start to get to the end of the regular season, makes them the top spot, the top team for you?
You know, this is a team that's just masterfully constructed. And I think that it is now kind of starting to show its face. Wes Johnson, the head coach, is in his second year. He's already the winningest coach in the first 2 years of in Georgia history. So we're talking about somebody who has unparalleled success. And they've looked the part this entire season. We're talking about an offense that is elite, ranked among the best in the country in almost every category. Its pitching was slow to start the season, but looks a lot better recently. They're starting to kind of round into form. I see a team that looks as potent on both sides of the ball as really anybody, and they've hung around at the top of our rankings for long enough. And just given the results that happened last week, it put them in position to jump up to number one.
And this week, I mean, they're come off Missouri. What else is there to say about that team right now? But now Georgia gets Alabama this week. How do you see this series playing out? Alabama, a ranked team for you guys as well. They're at number 25. Do you think Georgia gets another series win here?
I tend to lean so. I think that this is just, again, I go back to that this is a team that's super hot. They've played great baseball recently. Missouri is not necessarily something that you want to count towards that, like you just said. But I would say this, you know, when a team is competing at the level that Georgia has been, and you have a team like Alabama that hasn't necessarily been playing so well recently, it's hard for me to give the edge to the poor playing opponent. So I lean towards Georgia in that, for that exact reason.
Let's go to the number two team. Texas does not fall far. They go from number one all the way down to number two. Still a very strong team, I think. And this is just me, what I personally thought. They go to Arkansas. They get swept in their first real road test. They've been great at home. They go back home now this week. But is Texas to you still a true contender? Or are there some real concerns that were exposed against Arkansas?
You know, I really go both ways on it. And I've had a hard time recently. I think that Texas is the most well-rounded team in the country over the course of its entire body of work. But if you look recently, yeah, there are reasons for concern. And I would say that most of them have nothing to do with how they're playing exactly, but who they're not playing with. Jared Spencer, their ace, is out for the rest of the season with a shoulder injury. Their starting right fielder, Max Ballou, arguably their most consistent hitter. We don't know when he's coming back due to a thumb injury. The star freshman, Adrian Rodriguez, who's played third and left field as a switch hitter, he's been batting just left-handed for the better part of the last month because of an injury as well. So we're looking at a group that's pretty beat up. I think that they have the depth to survive it. Do I think that they can contend still? Yes, I would say, you know, I think they can. But the reality is this is not the Texas team that we were talking about or looking at, you know, a couple weeks ago even.
I want to stick with Texas because I think it's a really interesting series this weekend with them and Florida. And I was big on Florida at the early set of the season before they were decimated by injuries, Jacob. And now they're starting to get healthy again, and they look more like that team that we saw in the first month of the season. Going to Texas, they could really make a statement. Where do you lean in this series, Texas hosting Florida?
Florida's really hot right now. Like you just said, 12 of their last 14 have turned into wins. This is looking like a surefire tournament team. Right now for us, a number two seed, I wouldn't be surprised if they're able to win their final two series of the regular season, if that was a team that moved up into the host line. For that reason, I'm tempted to kind of go with the bolder pick and say that Florida is able to take away the weekend in Austin. I just like the momentum this Florida team has, and we've seen this before with Kevin O'Sullivan coach teams. They know how to win late. They know how to position themselves for the postseason. They've never missed it. And this group is going to be no exception. It was a rough season up until this point, but when you're as hot as Florida has been and you have the pedigree that they have, it's another situation where it's just hard to bet against that team. And then you factor in everything that we just said about Texas. I lean towards the Gators.
You mentioned it, Florida, they close late, and we've seen this before with them. Read as, we've seen this each of the last 2 years with them when they make a run and they get into the tournament. They're really good, and I like them a lot as well. But speaking of the state of Texas, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the Aggies and A&M, your number one preseason team. They get off to that awful start to start the year. Feels like Jace LaViolette was on the back of a milk carton, but they've turned it around. They just took the series from, at the time, number two LSU. They're on top of that, won the series at Arkansas and at Tennessee, a couple of road series wins for the Aggies as well. What do you make of this team? It looks like they are now really in that postseason picture. And after, for a while, we thought they might miss it entirely.
Yeah, squarely in the postseason, as you just said at this point. I think the big thing with them is that this is just kind of a team that's starting to marry to its talent. I mean, we've said long, even before the season began, and there are other coaches throughout the country who have said it as well, Texas A&M has one of, if not the best, stockpiles of talent in the country. It didn't really materialize for them early on, which, you know, with a first-year head coach who had no head coaching experience prior and really not even that much coaching experience, period, it wasn't necessarily shocking to me to see them struggle a little bit. They struggled a lot more than I expected, but now we're looking at the Texas A&M that I think we expected. I wouldn't be surprised to see them make a run to Omaha. They have a guy in Jayslav Ouellette who is a potential first overall pick. They have a guy in Gavin Grahovic. You know, he's not even playing this season, and next year we're talking about a potential first overall pick. So again, the talent is there. And I think that the results are now just starting to mirror that. I would not be surprised, like I said, to see that team make a run in the postseason.
Talking to Jacob Rudner, writer for Baseball America. Follow him at his name on Twitter, Jacob Rudner. I want to stick with the Aggies for one more quick question, Jacob. One follow-up there. You mentioned you think that they have Omaha upside. Is it? Does that mean, not mean, but is that conducive, and do you think that they have to get a favorable draw first? Like, are you waiting to see the bracket before you say the Aggies are going back to Omaha or making a run? Like, what's a favorable draw that would help, like, region-wise? Like, who are the Aggies hoping to have in their region if they want to make a run here?
You know, right now we have them projected to go out west, and I think that that would be a reasonably favorable draw. To your point, I think that we have to wait entirely to see the field, and that's the case for everybody. There could be a draw for a team like Georgia, who we just raved about, you know, that could throw them off track when they get into the tournament. So you really never know. I think when I say that the Aggies have Omaha potential, it's because if you stack them up against a lot of the field, they do out-talent a lot of teams. And again, I lean towards the strength of the schedule that these SEC teams have to face. I mean, this is not an easy place to play. And you're looking at a team in Texas A&M that's starting to prove that it can do it. I don't see a reason why they can't beat non-SEC teams. Am I predicting that that's going to happen? Certainly not, especially without seeing the field. But again, you know, if they go out west, if they get a Midwest draw where you get some non-SEC teams in your super regional potential forecast, absolutely they could go all the way to Omaha.
I hate to stick with the SEC, but college baseball is what it is. The top talents are in the SEC. I want to hit on Auburn because one of the top RPIs, they just won at Tennessee in a very convincing manner. Samuel Dutton's awesome, had one of his best starts of his career. Are we not talking about Auburn enough? They're fifth at Baseball America right now. Is this team kind of a sleeping giant that we're just underrating right now?
Listen, I think at number five, they're not necessarily underrated at this point. We know what we're going to get in Auburn. It's a team that can pitch well. It's very experienced because of the way they put that roster together, leaning on the transfer portal. They've hit homers on like four different freshmen throughout the field right now. So, I mean, it is a well-balanced roster. They can do everything. They can score in bunches. They can hit home runs. They can strike batters out. They have guys who can go into the game to get a ground ball. I love Auburn this year. I think that they're right on the cusp of, like, if you ask me today, who's going to be in Omaha, they would be one of, let's say, 12 teams that I would confidently say I think that they should be in the mix. I mean, it's a really well put together team. They're very well coached. This looks like the Auburn that I think people have come to expect over the last decade-ish in college baseball, not necessarily the one that we saw the last couple of years. And when they're playing the way that they are right now, historically speaking, that tends to have a chance to end up really deep into the season in June.
All right, Jacob, we're going to get away from the SEC finally. We're going to finally expand the conversation a little bit. And going outside of the SEC, which of these teams, I'm going to dealer's choice, choose your own adventure here. Which of these teams are we not talking about enough? Because I think there's some teams that have made a run outside the SEC. They're in the top 15 at Baseball America, but I think for the casual fan, they're going to look at the rankings or the field when it comes out and say, whoa, what are these teams doing there? Coastal Carolina, West Virginia, Troy. Which of these teams are the biggest threat to go make a run to Omaha and maybe win it all, depending on your answer here? But who are we not talking enough out of those three?
I think, first of all, great group. But the pick for me is Coastal. I predicted them today to be in our eight for Omaha. I think that's a team that has the metrics to make a seriously deep run. And to your point, yeah, I think maybe we aren't talking about Coastal enough. This is a team that ranks in the 90th percentile or better in almost every valuable pitching metric when measured by the entire team. Are there offensive concerns? Yes, certainly. I think that this is a group that has performed well below the standard that's been established for Coastal Carolina offensively, especially over the last, let's say, decade since they won the College World Series in 2016. But when your pitching is as good as theirs is, and it really is that good, I think that they are, you know, as good as any team to make a run. It's a group that is, again, experienced. They have transfer portal talent. It's a group of starters that are older. They've seen good college hitting before. So those factors, to me, good pitching, experience, good coaching, and some postseason pedigree are a pretty good recipe going into the postseason for sure.
Taking the elite teams that we've already talked about out of it, and let's take Coastal out of it as well for the purposes of this equation, this problem. a dark horse that you firmly have your eye on that once it comes to the tournament, you think could make a true run and maybe get all the way to Omaha, if not farther?
I would not want to host UTSA right now. Certainly not. We're talking about a team that has a top 25 RPI. They've played great all season long. They've dominated the American Conference. They've been so good that say another American team wins that conference tournament, UTSA will still be in the field as an at-large bid. They've been so strong this season, and they've played a hard schedule in order to be able to solidify that. So they're battle-tested. We know what they look like against top-tier teams. I would bet that that's a two seed the teams don't want in their regional. And I would guess that a Texas team has a chance to maybe host one of them. So let's say that UTSA ends up at Texas. And with the injuries that we talked about a couple minutes ago at Texas, who's to say that UTSA can't go and push its way into a super regional? And then you got to win two games and you're in the Omaha field. So I would say that the Roadrunners are absolutely my dark horse team, you know, 3 weeks out from Selection Monday.
I'm going to ask you a very self-serving question because I'm the one with the microphone hosting the show. I've been high on Oregon all year. Do you think that they are a true contender? They have the pitching. Grayson Grinsell has evolved in front of our eyes over the course of the season. What do you make of Oregon?
I like Oregon, and I think that the one thing that Oregon was missing for the longest time was just the proof. They hadn't played anybody to really convince me this is the team that we believed it to be. The reality, though, is that they've been in our rankings, actually, for the entire season. They opened the year in the rankings. They have not exited. They've had a couple rough weeks, and they've dropped before, but now we're talking about a team that's sniffing the top 10, possibly a host at the end of the year. They would be, I think, if the season stopped today. They're really good. You mentioned Grinsell. He's excellent. Mason Neville is the national leader in home runs. I think he's a good bet to go in the first round and maybe a sneaky guy to jump up that high in the draft this year. When you have that kind of talent, that's the theme of the show so far. You have a chance. And I do think that Oregon is on that line of teams that can compete with anybody. The biggest challenge for them, I go back to just, they're not really playing anybody good consistently. The Big Ten does not foster elite competition constantly. And I think over the last couple of years, we've seen a trend where teams that are more battle tested throughout the year stand a better chance to get deeper. It's not very complicated. I think that the more experienced you are with good teams, the better chance you have to go to Omaha. Oregon will lack that going into the tournament.
Jacob Rutner, follow him on Twitter at his name, Jacob Rutner, writer for Baseball America. Jacob, thank you very much, man. I appreciate the time. This was awesome.
Appreciate you having me.
Thanks again to Jacob for joining us here on Early Odds. On the other side, we're going to take a quick break. I close out the show. Jake Hassan solo, as usual, give you a bunch of bets. Hockey, basketball, MLB, college of my own. So stick around. Quick break here on 670 The Score on the early on the other side. On the early side. On the other side, we close out this edition of Early Odds. We will be right back.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Milo's Rewards or a Milo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Back. Welcome back in. Early Odds on 670 The Score with you here. Jake Hassan, as always. Jake double underscore Hassan on Twitter, by the way. Or follow 670 The Score at 670 The Score on Twitter, where you can find the links to the shows and all of the shows Monday through Friday. That is. But I digress. As we talk about and close the show here for this week's edition of Early Odds, Hassan Hockey with you before we get into some baseball awards talk. And just, I want to declare something. The Vegas Golden Knights are DED dead. Lose both games at home to the Edmonton Oilers and come from behind fashion for the Orioles, for the Oilers, that is. I have baseball in the brain apparently still. And just really lose in just demoralizing fashion. I think that this Knights team is just done for. I have no faith in them pulling a comeback. Now you go back to Edmonton, go back to the oil men's home country. I'm good. I think that this Knights team is done for, finished, finito. But I don't think it matters anyway, because I'm going to tell you something. I think the Dallas Stars are going to win the Stanley Cup. They have so much talent. Mikko Rantanen, your Conn Smythe favorite right now, has been awesome and playing on just an insane level, a ridiculous level of hockey right now. And this team's still going to get better over the next week, days, whatever you want to say, time period, pick it. Because Jason Robertson just came back in the last game. He's going to continue to shake the rust off. He was playing on the third line. He's probably a first line type of guy. So he comes back from injury, shakes the rust off. He'll get better as the series and as the playoffs go on. And then you get Heiskanen back as well at some point. And he's a star player for the Stars. That's another boost that they're about to get, the Dallas Stars, that is. So I think that they're just going to win the Cup. I know that they have come close and not been able to get across the finish line over the last couple of years. I think this is the year they do it. I think that the Dallas Stars are going to get across the finish line and finally hoist the Stanley Cup trophy after many times, a couple of times in the last few years, just coming just short of the finish line. Give me the Stars. Hassan Hockey with you here. Hassan Hockey's a bad bit. I'm not going to continue doing that. It just doesn't hit the same. You know what I mean? So we'll leave that alone for the time being. As far as bets for tonight go in the world of hockey, kind of think the Capitals have the juice a little bit after they were able to salvage a game at home. I don't know what I'm going to do. I might jump in on the Capitals at the last second here tonight, but I'll lay it with the oil men. Minus 120? Okay, like I said, I don't know if it's going to be a sweep. Maybe it's a gentleman's sweep, but I think this Golden Knights team is D-E-D dead. But let's talk some baseball here. Let's talk some Major League Baseball and some awards for you. We haven't done an awards check-in yet. And the biggest thing that I feel is that NL MVP is wide open, because Shohei Ohtani has just not been the guy this year. He's been good. He's been really good. He's Shohei Ohtani, for God's sake. But he hasn't been as awesome as we're accustomed to when it comes to him. Like, he's just not hitting at the rate that we've come to expect. And I know what everyone's probably thinking. Oh, well, he's going to pitch, Jake. Is he? Because he's been a dude who we've been hearing about is going to come back and pitch, but he hasn't even started facing hitters yet. Every time Dave Roberts is asked about it, it's, oh, well, yeah, at some point we're going to get him on the mound. And once Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow come back and Clayton Kershaw's on the precipice of a return as well, what is the Dodgers, you know, motivation to throw Tani into the mound and then into action on the mound so early? So if he's not going to pitch until after the All-Star break, let's call it generously, I think that leaves a lot of wiggle room. Now, unfortunately, Shohei Ohtani over the last 2 weeks, 340, 468, 860 for 1,300 OPS. Five home runs, five doubles, five stolen bases in just 13 games. So he's on a tear right now, and that's fine. 11 home runs, 10 stolen bases. Maybe he goes 50-50 again. But I think for the most part, he's vulnerable, and I think you're seeing some voter fatigue as well. Odds right now, he's your plus 250 favorite. Then it's Kyle Tucker, go Cubs, 4-1. Corbin Carroll, plus 550. Same with Fernando Tatis Jr. and Pete Alonso. And then a drop off to Juan Soto at 13-1. And that's where I think there's a bet to be made. Juan Soto is famously, over the course of his career, a slow starter, slow by his standards, which is still really, really good. But in the course of his career, Juan Soto gets better as the season goes on. And he hit two home runs the other night, and he had another multi-home run game just about a week ago as well. So that's two multi-home run games in about a week. He's starting to heat up, starting to play a lot better. And on a Mets team that's going to win, let's generously call it 105 games, Pete Alonso's a zero to me. He's going to cool off at some point. Francisco Lindor I'm a little scared of because he's also a very good second-half performer. But Juan Soto, and as he adjusts to life in New York, as he adjusts to being the face of the Mets, 313, 424, 646 for a 1070 OPS over the last 2 weeks. Just something to consider, I think, with Juan Soto and a price that you don't often get with him. And I think he's going to be in the mix as the season goes along. I'm not saying he has to win, and maybe Ohtani just wins, but I'm willing to take a shot with Juan Soto here in this market. We talked about Austin Riley as well. I do like him. But, I mean, somebody else at a big price that I think we need to talk about as far as NL MVP goes. I mean, we got to call this guy Denzel Washington in the 2004 film Man on Fire. Because what Freddie Freeman is doing, very under the radar, which is insane to say because of his stat line, hitting 361, 438, 701 on the year. And over the last 2 weeks, Freddie Freeman, 469, 544, 816 for a 1360 OPS. Hello? And I get it. He's on the same team as Ohtani and Betts, and it's a super team, and they're really awesome. But Freddie Freeman, very likable, is absolutely insane right now, playing out of his mind. And he's insanely priced. Like, he's priced like he's Joe Schmo. I mean, he's 13-1 as well out there. I think the longest price as of a couple days ago, there were 50s out there on him on Thursday. Like, somebody wasn't paying attention. Now, those prices have gotten knocked down a little bit, but you're still getting better than 10-1. You're getting double digits on a guy who's already won this award before. Granted, it was 2020, so do with that information what you will. But I'm looking right now, there's a 25-1 on Freddie Freeman to win NL MVP out there. And I'm going to check. I'm filibustering right now as I'm trying to check one more book here to see what their price is. But Freddie Freeman, 12-1. So there's 12, 13. There's this price discrepancy here. There's 25-1, probably worth a bet. 12-1 at lowest price out there. Also 25. Just saying. For Freddie Freeman. So I think NL MVP is wide open. Kyle Tucker has cooled off, as has Corbin Carroll. Fernando Tatis Jr. is somebody I'm afraid of because people start to feel like it's hashtag his time. And he's always been in the voting for the last couple of years. So he's a threat for sure. But my point being that Shohei Ohtani, in my estimation, is vulnerable for this award. Somebody who's not vulnerable, Aaron Judge. He's probably just going to win AL MVP. Hit by Bus Factor. He's minus 1,100. And that's probably just right. Unless something happens to him, I don't think there's anybody worth betting an American League MVP. I'm not going to waste money trying to bet a guy who is probably going to make history and be really, really, really awesome. NL Cy Young, I think, is also interesting because Paul Skeens and Yoshinobu Yamamoto have recently looked human. Paul Skeens is still awesome. He's got a sub-3 ERA, and he's pitched very well. but it just feels like he's not getting the same coverage and limelight that we're used to with him. And by used to, I mean all of one season, obviously. But it just feels like we're not talking about him in the same way that we were last year, which to me implies that people don't think he's been as good as he was last year, which obviously it's hard to be as good as he was last year. He was in the Cy Young voting as a rookie, which doesn't happen very often. But I think he's vulnerable for that reason. Yoshinobu Yamamoto gives up 5 runs against Arizona on Thursday night. His ERA doubles to a ginormous 1.81. He's somebody I'm very scared of that maybe just wins the award. But if the wheels start to come off a little bit here for Yoshinobu Yamamoto, things get a little bit dicey. Zach Wheeler, never. He's always going to be a bridesmaid, never a bride. I'm sorry. That just is what it is. For whatever reason, Zach Wheeler comes this close. I'm holding my fingers very close together as this is a radio show and you can't see me, but picture it in your mind. He comes very, very close and he doesn't get across the finish line. So, sorry. Zach Wheeler, never in life. Third favorite, 5-1. Hunter Green on the injured list right now. Hello? And it was a lower body injury. You know what pitchers need? Their lower bodies. Well, I mean, everybody does, but you know what I mean. So then it goes to Logan Webb at 12-1, Michael King at 20-1, as well as Kodai Senga, Jesus Luzardo at 22, Freddie Peralta at 25, and a slew of other names. There are 3 guys that I really like. Logan Webb, Michael King, and Christopher Sanchez, who you guys have heard me talk about before. And I think that they are all very, very live for this award. I mean, and obviously, Logan Webb and Michael King are near the top of the odds board. Christopher Sanchez slightly further down. But all of these guys are in the top of the leaderboard statistically of where you want to be. Logan Webb, 8th in ERA, 1st in FIP, 2nd in XFIP, 1st in wins above replacement. Michael King, 6th in ERA, 11th in FIP, 20th in XFIP, not great, 9th in WAR. Christopher Sanchez, 13th in ERA, 17th in FIP, 9th in XFIP, 19th in WAR. Christopher Sanchez, I'm willing to give a little bit of wiggle room to because he missed a start. So I think those are the 3 guys that I'm going to ride with for the rest of the year. Logan Webb is probably who I feel the strongest about and the best, I shouldn't say strongest, best about. And there's still 12-1 on him to win, which I think is a misprice. I think he should be ahead of Zach Wheeler and Hunter Green. So if you have nothing in this market, I think Logan Webb is absolutely worth a bet and a look if you're trying to jump in. And Christopher Sanchez is the long shot, still longer than 30-1 out there on him. And he is somebody that I think just has upside. I think he has a ton of upside to win this award. And you guys know I've talked about him a ton. Actually, there's a 40 on Christopher Sanchez. Scratch that. I think that's worth a bet. He definitely has the talent. He shook off this elbow thing from a couple weeks ago, which was a scare, but he looks fine. The velocity is held firm. So maybe it was just cramps or a freak thing, and he was able to shake it off. So I think those 3 guys all have a lot of value. I like them all. I've bet them all, and that's who I'm riding with going the rest of the way. As far as the AL Rookie of the Year market goes, you now have a minus money favorite, Jacob Wilson of the Athletics. And he's really, really good. Don't get me wrong. He's leading the rookies in wins above replacement, which is what you need to do to win this award. And it definitely helps as well that he plays a premium position of shortstop where you can rack up defensive wins above replacement. But he's also doing it with the bat. And even though I am somebody who has said repeatedly, okay, well, you can only hit so many slap singles and some doubles. But Jacob Wilson comes up clutch, man. It seems like every time he has an RBI, it's in a clutch situation. He's hitting .357. He's got an .858 OPS. And he just has these big moments where it's late in the game and he has the go-ahead RBI or the tying RBI or he's the one that scores the game-winning or go-ahead run. So Jacob Wilson, while he's going to keep hitting in this way, even though they are singles and the occasional double, I think that he's still your rightful leader. Do I think he should be a minus money price on May 10th? No, I don't think that. I think that's silly. I think we're still waiting for Nick Kurtz to turn it around and start hitting like we know he can. Christian Campbell could always catch fire. Jack Caglione, can we please, 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 Royals, just call him up. This is ridiculous what we're doing with this song and dance. He's tearing up double A, tearing it up. He's been hitting over .400 for about 2 weeks, hitting home runs left and right. It's like breathing for this guy. And the Royals could use some help in their outfield. So that's the guy. There's still 50-1s on Jack Caglione. Wait, have notifications on. Try to know when he's going to get called up because 5 minutes after he gets called up, that price is gone, brother. So just keep an eye on that. As far as NL Rookie of the Year goes, nothing to do. I don't think this market is very stupid. I don't think Roky Sasaki or Dylan Cruz are going to win. I think Augustin Ramirez, your third favorite, can win. But at this price, he's not somebody I want to, you know, cliff dive on at plus 370 or whatever the best number you can find is. That's just me. That's just how I feel. As far as stuff for today goes and things that we're betting today in Major League Baseball, I like a couple of things. One bet that I've been targeting is when there's an ace pitcher who I really like going against a team that's not great, first three team total unders for the opposing team. And there are a couple of options there today that I actually like a lot in this market. And the first of those is going to actually be the first three under in total with Garrett Crochet and Cole Reagans on the mound for the Red Sox and the Royals, respectively. Really like the first three under in that game, under 1.5 there. Twins, first three team total under a half a run with Logan Webb on the mound is a very good look. I think that's one that I am going to like a lot. And then the Rockies, you probably don't get a good price, but with Kolek on the mound making just his second career start, you might be able to get like a minus 110 on the Rockies team total first three under there as well. So take a look at those three. I think the Rangers are going to lose again to the Tigers, Jack Flaherty versus Jacob deGrom. I think that'll be a fun game, but give me the Tigers as far as that one goes. And give me Edward Cabrera over on K's against the White Sox. As far as college baseball goes for today, a couple things that I'm eyeing today that I want to take some shots on, and those are going to be across the board. Some decent matchups here that you got. Give me Arkansas in the second game against LSU. Really like LSU. Think they have championship upside, but Arkansas, after they just swept number one Texas, now going to LSU, I like Arkansas today. Give me the Vols against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's just not good on the road, so I'm going to be fading them in this one. And give me Florida against Texas. I know Texas is still number one at D1 Baseball, number two at Baseball America. Shout out to our guy Jacob Rudner, who we talked to earlier in the program, but Florida, something about them right now. They got that look in their eye. You know what I mean? You probably don't, because you guys probably aren't watching all these games like I am. But just take me for my word. Or don't, unless it loses. Only if it wins. But anyway, that does it for this edition of Early Odds. I have been Jake Hassan. Appreciate everybody listening as always. If you missed anything, go listen to the podcast. Thank you to the boys behind the scenes for making this show be on the air. Thank you to the listener as well. Hey, you can check me out Monday through Friday on a little show called Bet Slips and Bat Flips, which you can find on the BetMGM network, and that I tweet every day at @Jake_Hassan is where you can check me out on Twitter. Until next week, where we talk more playoffs and more baseball, I've been Jake Hassan. This is 670 The Score. This is Early Odds. Boys, hit the music.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Milo's Rewards or a Milo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.